Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll free, 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome to Hour 2 of Open Forum with Tim Staples. He is the Director of Apologetics here at Catholic Answers. My name is Don Johnson, sitting in for Cy. He caught that sickness, that flu that's going around all over Southern California here. And Tim and I are standing strong. We're holding out. We're doing our best. But in the meantime, pray for Cy, and hopefully he can be back tomorrow. 888-318-7884 is the number. And let us go to Patrick, who has called in from Montana, listening on 97.5. Patrick, what's on your mind?
I just have a question about how I should introduce mercy to me, my girlfriend. Because she's had a pretty bad past. I'm going to say sexual abused past.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Really, the most extreme situation you can get.
Oh, my. That is horrible.
And it's by two trusted men in her life, too.
Oh, my.
They're thought to have been. And so should I start her out with, Faustina or the Corporal Works of Mercy, or how do I introduce that?
Yeah, I think you introduce her to Jesus Christ, and I'm sure you've probably done that, but there's a reason that I say that. We live in a generation. I'm going to tell you, Don, and I'm sorry, I didn't catch your name, the caller.
It's Patrick.
Oh, is it Patrick? Okay. Well, Patrick, we live in a society that is absolutely merciless. The word mercy is not to be found. You think of the political dialogue if you want to call it that, that's going on right now. There's no mercy. There's no mercy anywhere. You see in families, there's no mercy. And when there's no mercy, what happens is people have to defend themselves to the nth degree, deny everything, and then just level the other side and destroy them. Because if you don't, you know there's no mercy that's coming your way. In my humble opinion, Patrick, we are in a very dangerous time culturally. And I think Pope Francis is prophetic in his emphasis, and Pope St. John Paul the Great, both of their emphases in particular, not that Benedict didn't, but I think of John Paul and Divine Mercy, Sister Faustina, and so I would agree, Sister Faustina is a great place to go, and I think of Pope Francis and the idea of mercy, because what is mercy? You ask people out in the street, what is mercy? Ask Catholics, what is it? And most don't know. But it's the withholding of just judgment out of an act of love, right? And this is what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. There's no place. That's why I say the first place to go is to the cross. And, of course, that's where Faustina is going to take you. That's her whole message. She takes you to our crucified Lord and the blood and water that flowed from his side that gushed forth, right, as a fount of mercy for us. But what she needs to see, what your girlfriend needs to see, is Jesus Christ, the God-man, took our, look, Isaiah 53:5, right? The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. See, all of us are in need of mercy because we're all sinners. Your girlfriend, in a certain sense, is in a good place, not that she's been abused. Of course, that's not good. But good can come out of that because she knows what disorder is. And she knows that she needs mercy. And so that can be a blessing in this relationship. But what she needs to see is that Jesus Christ is the only innocent one from salvation history. He is the only one who was absolutely innocent. Right now, of course, by a special grace, Mary was preserved free from all sin, but she got that as a grace from her son. Jesus, by nature, was absolutely innocent, and yet he offered himself for the sins of other, as for the sins of all of us, as the ultimate act of mercy. Because as you may have heard, Patrick, I'm sure you have, we owed a debt, and we owe a debt that we can't pay. And that's why Jesus came. He paid that debt that we can't pay by his death on the cross. And so our sins can be healed and cleansed, and we can experience that mercy and that healing. Now, you may say, well, Patrick, you may say, but wait a minute, my girlfriend was abused. Why would she need mercy? The fact is, we all need mercy because we are all sinners. And if if any of us, if we're looking for healing or fulfillment in anything other than the mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we will never be satisfied. So I would bring her to, yes, Sister Faustina, absolutely. The Diary of Saint Faustina is beautiful, but it's going to keep bringing you back to the passion of our Lord, who, as in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, tells us, we are all called to walk in his footsteps. I love that in verse 21. We're called to walk in his footsteps, who, though he was the Son of God, he was reviled and insulted and beaten, and by his stripes we were healed. What we see when we come to Jesus Christ is not only will we see God's mercy in our own lives, but then we will begin to see how we're called to be instruments to extend mercy to others as well. And eventually, your girlfriend needs to get to that place where she can truly forgive those who have done these horrible things. She can truly love them with the love of Christ. And the only way you can get there is to take her to Jesus Christ, who, and Jesus was absolutely innocent, and he was abused and reviled and tortured, nails, as you know, through his hands and feet, crown of thorns, his side pierced for us. But Patrick, mercy, my friend, is the message of Pope Francis, and I believe that is the single most important message for this generation.
Yeah. Yeah. And then kind of to go on with that, like, I'm
yes.
obviously Catholic, and she's trying to become Catholic,
yes.
too. But once we started the RCIA, she started to get it really sick every time Sunday came rolling around. Like, we had to right. take her to a hospital every single time.
Oh, my.
And, like,
yeah.
Before the, and like when she got away from that situation, the person who did this killed themselves, and he was into black magic.
Oh my
And so
goodness.
We're thinking that he did some kind of a curse on her or something like that to prevent her from, doing things like that. And he said that, he would haunt her the rest of her days in a letter or something like that.
Oh my goodness. This guy was, wow. Well, yeah, there may well be a demonic component here, but there's also the psychological component. And of course, if you, I just spent a day the other day, 2 weeks ago now, with an exorcist, had a day of recollection with an exorcist that was incredible. And there may well be a demonic component here, but there is also the psychological component. The fact that she gets sick and whatnot, it may well be that she's so wounded. See, at times people can be so wounded that the very source of healing, the only source of healing, becomes repugnant to them because it represents having to relive the pain. It's very easy when people are in a very painful situation to run the other direction. I mean, it's almost consonant with our nature, right? We have one of our natural inclinations, right, is to self-preservation, to flee. If fire is over there, I run the other direction, right? And so when there's terrible pain like your girlfriend has experienced, the tendency can be to run the other way. And so the ultimate healing that comes through the Mass, through encounter with Jesus Christ, becomes fearful for her, because it represents that pain. It represents having to sort of relive it. That's one of the reasons why a lot of folks don't want to go to therapy. They refuse to do it because of the pain. That's why it kills me when you hear on the news, you know, why don't these women come forward who have been raped? Are you kidding me? I mean, my goodness. The fact that people ask that question just drives me crazy. It's not something you just, hey, I want to volunteer to tell how I got raped and abused. I mean, come on, folks. That's a very, very difficult thing to confess. And so what she needs is love and compassionate and understanding. I would get her to a good priest. In fact, if you go to the chantry office in your diocese, a lot of dioceses do have exorcists that are usually very, very holy priests. In fact, I was just with one, as I said, a couple of weeks ago, Father Chad Ripperger, who is an amazing exorcist, and you find that they are, generally speaking, just tremendous when it comes to the spiritual life and understanding spiritual conflict, spiritual battles, and the tendencies, or as St. Peter talks about, the wiles of the devil. The devil is, you know, obviously, he's an angel. He has an angelic intellect. He's brilliant in a devious and evil sort of way. So patience, my friend, love, compassion. Get her to a good holy priest, an exorcist, if possible. I'm not saying she's demonized, but no doubt the evil one is afoot. You know, he's not just hanging out. He's probably tormenting her in this situation. And so, you know, that would be good as well. I'll tell you what, Patrick, there's only so much we can do on the air, but I would appreciate it if you would call us back because I'd love to hear how things go. And again, I would call the chantry office and talk, that's the bishop's office of your diocese, and talk to someone there about your situation, because they may well have a priest in your diocese that will be able to give her the special ministry that she needs. Appreciate your call, Patrick. I wish we could do more, but there's only so much we can do on the radio.
Yeah, thank you, Patrick, and thank you, Tim. Tim, you may know a friend of mine, wonderful lady and writer, Dr. Dawn Eden, has a good book on recovering from sexual abuse. It's called Remembering God's Mercy. She has a lot of work on that available from Ave Maria Press, I believe. So,
she is a brilliant lady as well, a remarkable woman, her own story.
Absolutely. 888-318-7884. Tim Staples is with us for two full hours today, and so about 45 minutes left to get Tim your question. Call now, and we will be right back after this.
Hang on. We'll be right back with more Catholic Answers Live.
January is Pro-Life Month, and to get as many people as we can involved in the pro-life cause, we're making Trent Horn's book, Persuasive Pro-Life, available for just $5 a copy. That's a savings of over 70%. This book was made specifically with you in mind, to help you engage in sustained and meaningful dialogue, and to give you the tools you need to change people's hearts and minds, so that together, we might build up a pro-life culture, one person, one conversation at a time. To get your copies of the book Persuasive Pro-Life for just $5 each, call 1-888-291-8000. Or visit the shop at Catholic.com.
Just like the saints of the Counter-Reformation, our own souls are in constant need of reform, of reconversion to God and His will for us. We struggle with sin. We become distracted in prayer. We find it hard to be loving and easy to be selfish. In Reform Yourself, Sean McAfee shows you how these magnificent saints can be guides to your own personal transformation. We all need to reform our souls. Let the saints who reformed the church show you how. Order your copy of Reform Yourself today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their faith and values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to the show. Don Johnson sitting in for Cy Kellett today. You can find out more about me at donjohnsonministries.org. You know, I mentioned Don Eden just before the break, and actually just interviewed Dr. Eden a few weeks ago for a new documentary I'm working on the sexual revolution. And that last call is very real life to a lot of people. A lot of bad stuff have been the result of the sexual revolution. And if you're interested, you can go to donjohnsonministries.org to find out more about that, or unprotectedfilm.com. Also, it is Pro-Life Month, and I'll be at the One Life LA March here later this month. I know we've got one in San Diego and D.C. and San Francisco. If you're looking for wonderful material to equip yourself for the pro-life cause, or other people for that matter, a couple of wonderful resources are available this month only at Catholic.com. Persuasive Pro-Life, How to Talk About Our Culture's Toughest Issue, and the DVD, Making the Case for Life, both by apologist extraordinaire Trent Horn, great friend of ours. Those are available for only $5. That is a huge savings. That's like 70% off. I think you're saving about $12 to $15 on those. So please go to Catholic.com right now and pick up a stack of those for yourself and for others. All right, let's go back to the phones. It is open forum, and George has called from Cotati, California. Welcome, George.
Hello. Hello, Jonathan.
Yes.
Hey.
Hi. Well, okay. I try to be as ironic as and charitable as possible.
Okay.
As I said, my name is George, and I am a Protestant.
Yes.
How should I put this? As you know, a few weeks ago, Bernard Francis Cardinal Law,
yes,
the Archbishop of Boston, Mass., died. Well, he was there like 15 years ago.
Yes.
And how should I put this? He basically spent the last 15 years or so of his life in the Vatican.
Mm-hmm.
And after his death, Pope Francis, Jorge Bergoglio, gave him a Mass.
Yes.
And I mean, I suppose the Vatican, technically speaking, was not responsible for what the local police in Boston, Mass., and the DAs did or did not do, the fact that they failed to arrest him or prosecute him. But they basically spent the last decade and a half harboring a fugitive. At minimum, law engaged in child endangerment, criminal malfeasance, criminal negligence, and it was a scandal. I mean, and the U.S. government was just as culpable as the Vatican, and the officials in Boston were as well. I mean, the U.S. never demanded that the Vatican return him or try to extradite him or anything along those lines. Mm-hmm. So it was just disgusting. And
Tim, you want to?
Right. Sure.
I think we get the idea. Thanks,
yeah,
George.
I think I get the idea. George, first of all, the Vatican was not harboring a fugitive because there were no charges that he was running away from. Number one. Number two, we've just been talking about earlier the idea of mercy. And I believe that what the Holy Father, not just this Holy Father, but our last two popes have done, is exactly what our Lord and Savior would have done, offered forgiveness and healing, whatever the flaws were of cardinal law. I mean, thanks be to God. You know, Romans chapter 5 says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, right? And I think, Don, this also gets back to what I was saying before, that as a culture, yes, we have to have justice. And of course, the church has been over backwards. We have a zero, we have a zero tolerance policy in the Catholic Church now as a result of what happened over these last 50, 60 years, that in fact, in times, goes too far the other way, to where people are merely accused. I happen to have a very good friend a Monsignor who was accused and was hung out to dry, lost everything. And his accuser later recanted, said he lied about the whole thing on his deathbed. And that Monsignor never got restored. It was not put in the papers how everything they had said about him was false and all of this. So we have to be really careful here when we're dealing with people's lives. Yes, cardinal law, and we have the Father Shanley's and Father Gogan's who went to prison over that. And I think Shanley was in Boston, as I recall, or was it Gogan? One of the two. They ended up in prison. And hey, I believe in justice, but we also have to have mercy. And of course, in the church, we are going to extend mercy like our Lord did to the woman caught in adultery. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. That is what I believe happened with Cardinal Law. Cardinal Law went to confession for whatever things he did right. I never did an investigation on everything that happened there. Horrible things happened, no doubt. But we need to be known, I believe, as Christians and as a church, as messengers of mercy. We have to extend the mercy of God, because if we don't, this world will devolve to pure justice. And my friend, I would suggest to you, you don't want that, because pure justice, my friends, leads to calamity. It leads to a lack of trust. Like I said before, you know, where you have justice without mercy, you're going to end up in civil war. We need mercy, and I believe the church extends that. And offering that holy sacrifice of the Mass in the same way, you know, we were talking about earlier, 2 Maccabees chapter 12, you know, you had these soldiers who had fought in a war and they had died, and some of them were doing things that weren't good, right? But they took up a collection and they offered sacrifice for these dead men. And this, the scripture says, is a good and holy thing that they did. We as Catholics pray for everyone. God is ultimately the judge. And yes, the courts, you can argue, may have failed in many ways in not bringing the justice that they should. But you know what? That's the courts. As a church, we're going to extend mercy just as our Lord did. Does that make sense?
Well, I'm going to have to throw the bull poo-poo flag on that, Staples, because it was not Bergoglio's place or Ratzinger's place to hide a criminal.
No, he's not a criminal. You have to have charges brought for him to be a criminal. See, I would have to say to you, and I think we'll have to leave it at this, it's not the church's role to adjudicate and determine whether Cardinal Law is guilty under United States law. That was the job of the United States government. And so the church merely extends mercy as Jesus Christ did. I don't see how you can expect, I mean, what is the church supposed to somehow bring a case against Cardinal Law and then put him in prison? Is that what you're arguing?
Okay, how come Mr. Law was never charged with anything? How come he wasn't shipped back to the United States to face the prophet? No.
Well, he wasn't charged with anything because evidently the district attorney didn't think that there was enough evidence to convict him of anything. I'll tell you one thing that I've learned over the years, my friend, is I have a difficult time keeping my desk straight in my office and dealing with my department at Catholic Answers. When you have a cardinal or a pope, someone who is in charge, like the Archdiocese of Boston, it is enormous. It is very difficult to know of the goings on among all of your priests, and to argue that he was culpable for all the things that some of these priests did. I mean, it's a very difficult case to make. The bottom line is the case wasn't made. And so the church extends mercy. And I think we'll have to leave it at that.
We appreciate the call, George. And I don't think we have enough time here to sneak one call in before the bottom of the hour. So let me give you the number again and give you a heads up about some resources we have here at Catholic Answers. 888-31-TRUTH. We have open forum until the top of the hour with the Director of Apologetics, Tim Staples. So call now and get in the queue. And during this bottom of the hour break, I would encourage you to pick yourself up some wonderful pro-life resources. It's the first show of January, and January is Pro-Life Month, with wonderful marches and talks all around the country. And Trent Horn, our apologist extraordinaire here at Catholic Answers, has produced two wonderful resources that I would encourage you to pick up. One's called Persuasive Pro-Life, How to Talk About Our Culture's Toughest Issues. And if you've ever heard Trent here on the show taking calls from non-pro-life people, you know that he's a master at it. He's also got a DVD, Making the Case for Life. These are both available for only $5. That's a savings of over 70%. So please go to Catholic.com or call 1-888-291-8000 right now and pick yourself up a big stack of those. My name is Don Johnson, sitting in for Cy. We will be back with more of your calls right after this.
This is Bishop James Conley of the Diocese of Lincoln. Keep it right here on Catholic Answers Live.
It might be said that anti-Catholic notions of the Church's history are the original fake news. With all the misinformation being spread, where does one look for the truth? In The Real Story of Catholic History, Professor Steve Weidenkopf gives you the facts on over 50 of the most common misconceptions about Catholic history and shows how to answer them simply and powerfully. Whether it's to answer claims about Catholicism's supposedly pagan origins, old myths about the Inquisition that never seem to go away, or more modern errors that anti-Catholics put forth, The Real Story of Catholic History is an essential resource for every Catholic's bookshelf. Order your copy of The Real Story of Catholic History today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
As the legend goes, the Protestant Reformation began when Martin Luther nailed the list of his grievances with the Catholic Church to the door of All Saints Church in Wittenberg, Germany. But do you know the whole story? In Catholic Answers' brand new documentary, The Protestant Revolution, you will hear from top apologists Tim Staples, Jimmy Akin, Carla Broussard, Trent Horn, and Steve Weidenkopf as they expose the errors of Martin Luther and of the other so-called reformers. This DVD will give you a clearer understanding of our Protestant brothers and sisters, and you will be better equipped to engage them about what separates us and about what unites us. Order your copy of The Protestant Revolution today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting shop.catholic.com, or by asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
The Trump administration rolls back the Health and Human Services contraceptive mandate.
U.S. bishops calling for the total elimination of nuclear weapons.
Pope Francis offers prayers for the victims of the California wildfires.
The U.S. House of Representatives has passed a bill banning abortions after 20 weeks.
And Pope Francis says the death penalty is contrary to the gospel.
Your link to news headlines Catholics count on at the top of the hour. Weekdays on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. My name is Don Johnson, sitting in for Cy Kellett. Today, he's a little bit under the weather, so if you have time, pray for him. Here with Tim Staples, the Director of Apologetics, taking your calls on Open Forum Day. Let's go to Pablo, calling in from Atlanta, Georgia, listening on the EWTN app. Pablo, welcome to Catholic Answers Live.
Thank you, Don and Tim.
Yes.
And Happy New Year to both of you.
Thank you, brother. Happy New Year. And Merry Christmas. It's still Christmas, folks.
Merry Christmas.
Yes.
Right? Yes, yes, indeed.
So what's on your mind, Pablo?
Well, thank you. Question is, my sister and I, we are Catholics, and my sister sends to our cousin, she used to be Catholic, and now she's a Protestant. Evangelical Protestant.
Yes.
So my sister sends her every day some devotionals from her prayer group or something.
Yes.
So she sent her today something related to Proverbs. Like if you read a one of the chapters of Proverb every day, you go for 31 days and so on.
Yes.
So, you know, pray with the Proverbs, pray with the Bible, pray every day, and so on. So my cousin responded to her, well, it's a good thing that you send me this because the Catholic Church is now becoming more like what we do.
Oh.
As if implying that this is the first time that we do this. So I wonder if you had some maybe evidence from the early fathers.
Sure.
Or, you know, the church exhorting the faithful to pray with Proverbs or the Bible in general and devotionals and praying every day and so on.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that's a great example of a lot of myths that are out there and have been for a long time among Protestants that just aren't true. There are a number of ways you could go here, Pablo, but you bring to mind immediately. I was researching for a friend, actually, just before Christmas, and I was reading St. John Chrysostom's famous homilies on Matthew. He basically goes through the entire Gospel of Matthew, and it's so rich. It's beautiful. Anyone who has any contact with the fathers of the church knows, and Catholic history, that the church is inundated with men and women who lived and breathed scripture. So you could toss that out, you know. You look at the great an Eastern saint like St. John Chrysostom, the Patriarch of Constantinople, and his wealth of teachings on sacred scripture. You could go over to the West and the great Bishop of Hippo, St. Augustine. His commentaries on scripture are so extensive. I remember years ago reading his commentary on Genesis and reading about the sin of Onan and contraception in Genesis 38, and that convinced me concerning the evils of the sin of contraception, St. Augustine. Or we could go later. Let's go to the Middle Ages and a great saint like St. Thomas Aquinas, who a lot of folks don't realize. Yeah, he's famous for his Summa Contra Gentiles and the Summa Theologica, but his commentaries on Scripture are glorious. I've read his commentaries on Galatians, Ephesians, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. In fact, I've taught them. And, oh my goodness, his wealth of knowledge on sacred Scripture, you will learn on every page. This is our patrimony, Pablo, in our Catholic Church. And I'll give you one great book you can get right here at Catholic Answers that perhaps will help here. And it's called The Fathers Know Best by Jimmy Akin. And I must say, Jimmy hit it out of the park on this book, because this I believe is the most complete work on the fathers in one volume. I mean, you've got Quastin's Patrology, if you want multiple volumes. But The Fathers Know Best, you really get a sense of the fathers and our patrimony and how rich they are when it comes to sacred scripture. And then, of course, up to modern time, I would challenge Pablo, your friend, to take a look at the Catechism of the Catholic Church. You can go, you know, online to the Vatican website. You can go, there's a website, scborromeo.org. It's a little church in Picayune, Mississippi that has a wonderful thing on their website where you can search the catechism and such. And check out the footnotes of the catechism and how richly it quotes sacred scripture on every single page of the catechism. You're going to have multiple quotes from sacred scripture. I mean, the bottom line, I'm going to leave you with this. I'll leave you with one more book. James Cardinal Gibbons, one of my favorites, Faith of Our Fathers, which I was blessed to write the foreword here at Catholic Answers to our new edition of Faith of Our Fathers in our classic series here. You might want to check it out, The Faith of Our Fathers. It's a great part in that book where Cardinal Gibbons talks about going into a bookstore with a friend of his from North Carolina, and that refers to the fact that when Cardinal Gibbons was first made bishop, he was actually vicar of the entire area of North Carolina, and he actually traveled on horseback through all of those miles and miles to give sacraments. I mean, he's a tremendous man. But he talks about going into a bookstore with one of his friends from North Carolina. And by the way, Cardinal Gibbons basically created the church in North Carolina of virtually all converts because there weren't that many Catholics. He says that his friend was surprised to see the shelves lined with Bibles for sale. And this is written, you know, around the 1890s, right? Or maybe a little bit earlier than that, actually. And his friend was shocked to see all these Bibles. But I thought you guys didn't let your people read the Bible. And Cardinal Gibbons responds, I can assure you, as a prince of that same church, that we encourage our people to read the Bible. These are myths, my friend, that, you know, the Catholic Church hides the Bible from people, doesn't want their people to read the Bible. In fact, history shows it's just the opposite. Now, we have had an emphasis on, you know, not reading Bibles that are badly translated, Bibles that have bad commentaries that lead people astray, absolutely. But the church for 2,000 years has always done everything she can to get not just the Bible, but the proper interpretation of the Bible into the hands of every one of the faithful.
All right. I hope that helps, Pablo. Thanks so much for the call. We are going to try to get one more call in here before the break. Let's go to Southern California. George has called from El Cajon. Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, George.
Hello, George.
Yes. Hello.
Yes, welcome, yes. George.
Thank you, Tim. Thank you, Don.
What's on your mind, George?
My question was in regards to suffering and sacrifice.
Okay.
New Year's, me and my brother were having a discussion about suffering.
Yes.
And he said, we're all Catholics, but I mean, he was saying that we were meant to suffer. I mean, in my opinion, I was saying, no, I don't think we were meant to suffer. I think Jesus died for us in the cross to take away the suffering. Mm-hmm. We were meant to sacrifice. And we had a discussion about that. And then all of a sudden it came out, well, then why do the saints suffer? And I told them, well, they chose to suffer. Mm. It wasn't like it wasn't like Jesus told them or God told them, you need to suffer with me. I mean, they chose to suffer. So basically my question is, are we meant to suffer or am I wrong?
Yes, George, great question. Now, on one level, remember, God created Adam and Eve in perfection, perfect integrity, in harmony with themselves and with all of nature, and there would have been no suffering. So God's ultimate will for us is not to suffer, but to enjoy the bliss of the beatific vision for all eternity. But as a result of sin, sin is what brings about the necessity of suffering. So in that sense, your brother is correct. We are, in fact, called to suffer. In fact, in 1 Peter chapter 2, I mentioned earlier, St. Peter, both in chapter 2 and chapter 4, talks about this. If you are called to suffer as a Christian, he says, rejoice, right? We rejoice in our sufferings. Why? Because we are honored to be called to suffer like Jesus Christ, who was absolutely innocent, and yet he was called to suffer for the sins of others. Now, we suffer not just for the sins of others, but we suffer for our own sins as well. But ultimately, my friend, yes, we are called to the cross. The cross is an essential part of our existence as Christians. Jesus said, and another important point is sufferings come upon us, yes, at times because we choose them. As Archbishop Fulton Sheen said, you know, he recommended that we choose our own penances because if we don't, God will choose them for us. And you want the ones you choose. Don't wait on God because God loves us so much that he'll bring suffering that will totally purify us. And sometimes those sufferings will be great. So yes, we can choose our own sufferings. Jesus said in Luke 9:23, unless you take up your cross daily and follow me, you cannot be your disciple. That means we choose to take up our own penances, right? Prayer, fasting, almsgiving, all sorts of penances that we can do. That's suffering, and we're called to that as Christians, to suffer for our own sins as well as to do, you know, what St. Paul said in Colossians 1:24, we fill up that which is lacking in the sufferings of Christ in our bodies for his body, which is the church. But then there are also those sufferings that are beyond our control, natural disasters, sicknesses, and so forth, that God can, in fact, directly cause or permit. But either way, God is sovereign. He allows them into our lives, and we can know. Wonderful text of Scripture, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 6 through 10. Beautiful text where Paul's or the inspired author of Hebrews talks about how that God brings chastisement, discipline into our lives, sufferings of all sorts, ultimately for our good. So that in verse 10, he says, ultimately so that we can be made partakers of his holiness. But yes, sufferings will come, whether out of our control or in our control. We are called to offer all of those sacrifices with Christ, as we say at the Mass, quoting Romans 11:36, or the priest does, in him, with him, and through him. We offer these sufferings, and these sufferings, rather than destroy us, become our salvation as well as the salvation of others when we offer them in Christ. Because remember, it's Christ and Christ alone that is the first principle of salvation that makes these sufferings salvific. But because we join them with Christ, they can indeed become salvific. Remember this, my brother, I'll leave you with this thought. Jesus Christ did not suffer and die on the cross so that we don't have to. No, we still are called to suffer and die. He suffered and died on the cross so that our suffering and our death can become salvific in him. That's the key.
Transformational truth right there from Tim. Thank you very much. 888-318-7884. And thank you for the call, George. More of your calls when we come back from this break. You're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live.
January is pro-life month, and to get as many people as we can involved in the pro-life cause, we're making Trent Horn's book, Persuasive Pro-Life, and his DVD, Making the Case for Life, available for just $5 each. That's a savings of over 70%. Both the book and the DVD were made specifically with you in mind to help you engage in sustained and meaningful dialogue and to give you the tools you need to change people's hearts and minds so that together we might build up a pro-life culture, one person, one conversation at a time. To get your copies of the book Persuasive Pro-Life or the DVD Making the Case for Life for just $5 each, just call 1-888-291-8000 or visit the shop at Catholic.com.
It might be said that anti-Catholic notions of the Church's history are the original fake news. With all the misinformation being spread, where does one look for the truth? In The Real Story of Catholic History, Professor Steve Weidenkopf gives you the facts on over 50 of the most common misconceptions about Catholic history and shows how to answer them simply and powerfully. Whether it's to answer claims about Catholicism's supposedly pagan origins, old myths about the Inquisition that never seem to go away, or more modern errors that anti-Catholics put forth, The Real Story of Catholic History is an essential resource for every Catholic's bookshelf. Order your copy of The Real Story of Catholic History today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Go forth and preach the good news. It's not just a suggestion. If you want to take more seriously the command of Jesus to share the gospel with those around you, consider joining St. Paul Street Evangelization. It's a grassroots organization that brings the Catholic faith to the streets in a non-confrontational way. Visit our website, www.streetevangelization.com, to learn more. And don't forget to like us on Facebook. It's time to do our part.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back. Don Johnson sitting in for Cy today. I'm here with Tim Staples. One more segment of Open Forum. I do hope during that break you went to Catholic.com and picked up your copy of Persuasive Pro-Life, How to Talk to Our Culture's Toughest Issues. That and Trent Horn's DVD, Making the Case for Life, both $5. Deal of the century. Go pick those up during this pro-life month. Let's go directly back to the phone. Sarah has called in. She's listening on the Catholic Answers app from Columbus, Ohio. Beautiful city. Sarah, welcome to the show.
Hi. I'm sorry, you guys got me up at the worst time. I'm getting gassed.
Okay. It's all good. What's on your mind, Sarah?
So my question, I was reading the genealogy of Jesus in Matthew.
Yes.
And the point of that whole thing is that there's a lot that goes into the planning of the birth of Jesus. You know,
yes.
Mary had to be born sinless and everything.
Yes.
And it got me thinking, where does the concept of free will go into that? The concept of free will in regards to Mary, because
yes.
it seemed like her destiny was already pre-planned,
right?
Whether she wanted it or not.
Yes. Oh, great.
So that's just my question.
Excellent question, Sarah. And I encourage you to get a hold of my book called Behold Your Mother, A Biblical and Historical Treatment of All the Marian Doctrines. And I have a section in there on this that I think you will enjoy. But the bottom line is Mary is the sort of the example par excellence of what Catholics mean when we talk about predestination. Predestination for us as Catholics does not mean what John Calvin meant, that we therefore don't have free will, or that is there's no free will in any real sense of the term free will. All right, Mary was predestined in the sense, just as all those who will finally endure till the end and be saved are predestined even now. But no one is predestined to hell. As the Catechism of the Catholic Church tells us in paragraph 1037, no one is predestined to hell. For that, persistence in mortal sin until death is necessary. Because, of course, in paragraph 1033, the Catechism had just defined hell beautifully as definitive self-exclusion from communion with God and with the blessed. So when we talk about predestination, we're talking about to the good. God, in fact, there's a sense in which we can say God has a plan, a predestined plan for all to be saved. However, if we reject God's predestined plan, then we will be lost. Now, God's predestination, you know, when it comes to the Blessed Virgin Mary and those who will endure to the end, is a reality because God knows who is going to accept his predestined plan and who is not. So in that sense, God knows Mary was going to say yes. He knows everyone who is going to say yes from all time. And so Mary is the ultimate example of that. But because God knows it doesn't mean he determines it. And that is the key, my friend, to understanding predestination and free will. Mary was entirely free. And so if we go back to the Annunciation there in Luke chapter 1, verse 26, we have Gabriel comes down to this little 14-year-old girl and announces she is being called to be the mother of Almighty God, the Messiah, the Son of God, whose kingdom will have no end, we read in verse 33. Mary says, "How shall this be, for I know not man?" Then the angel explains to her, this is how it's going to happen. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. Therefore, that Holy One which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And this is the sixth month with your cousin or relative Elizabeth, who was called barren. For nothing shall be impossible with God. I want you to notice, Mary then says, this is verse 37, "Let it be done unto me according to thy word." It was not until Mary said so that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. She was entirely free either to say yes or no. The fact is, of course, God knew. God gave her the grace, you know, to say yes. He knew she was going to say yes, but that does not mean she was not entirely free. She absolutely was. And anyone who says she was not is not teaching Catholic doctrine. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And if you could maybe recommend, because I think what Catholics understand to be free will may be a little bit different than maybe what some Protestants believe.
Yes, that is true.
Other than, yeah, so I was wondering if you had a book that, like a recommendation on just the concept of free will or when that focuses on that.
Oh, my goodness. There is a book by, maybe Don can help me here. Are you familiar with Michael Torre, M-I-C-H-A-E-L-T-O-R-R-E? It was his doctrinal dissertation, actually. And I'm trying to remember the name of it right now. And it's...
I don't have it either.
Oh, my gosh. It's the best treatment I've ever seen on grace, free will, predestination, and now it's actually based on a debate, or a good part of it is based on a debate between Garrigou Lagrange and Francisco Marinsola, who was a Dominican theologian, and I think Marinsola got the best of Lagrange on this one. Two Dominicans who debated on this very issue, and I can't think of the name of it. I'll tell you what I'll do, though. I will find out the name of it, and we'll get it to you. If you can leave your name and your email address with our call screener, I'll get you that book. I have it right at home in my office, and I can picture the book, but
we'll
I can't see
it.
I hate
and,
it. Yeah.
And bottom line, Sarah, you just get Tim's book, Behold Your Mother, and you know, the rest of it just falls into place.
There actually is a good section in there on it, but like I said, I'll get that book for you. It's really, really well done, but I appreciate your call.
Yeah, we thank you, and producer Darren assures us that we'll also post it in the show notes, which are always available, Catholic.com. Let's go to Kansas City, Kansas. Larry is watching on YouTube. Larry, what's on your mind?
Hi, Don. Tim?
Yes.
The Catechism of the Catholic Church avoids referring to Jesus Christ as a, quote, human being.
Correct.
Unquote.
Correct.
To me, when someone refers to Jesus Christ as a human being, it makes Jesus two beings.
Correct.
A human being and a divine being.
Yes.
Yet, I've heard some Catholic apologists call Jesus a human being.
Well, Larry,
what do you think, Tim?
Yeah, well, if you ever hear of one saying that, you should contact them, or you can even contact me. I've actually corrected some folks on that before. And I think what happens sometimes is people will flippantly say it and not really understand fully, or even a slip of the tongue at times, and say human being. But you're correct. We say in the Creed, he is God from God, light from light, true God from true God, consubstantial with the Father, meaning of the same nature with the Father. The old translation, which wasn't as good, said one in being. That was a little bit of a weak translation, but the issue is here, is the person of Jesus Christ. You have to acknowledge now, in virtue of the incarnation, possesses two natures, but there's not two beings. If you say there's a human being, as you said, well, then you've got two beings, because the divine person, Jesus Christ, is one being. You cannot, and this was the point made at the Council of Ephesus in 431. And by the way, I have a section on this in my book, Behold Your Mother, in my chapter on the Mother of God. I show how the councils of Ephesus, especially in Chalcedon, make this point very, very clear, that you cannot have but one being when you're talking about the person of Jesus Christ, and that's a divine being. And he cannot change, even in the incarnation. You know, the second person of the Blessed Trinity acquired a human nature, but there was no change to the divine person, and certainly no change to the divine nature. What we say is there was a radical change to the human nature, in as much as the human nature acquired as its subject the one divine person. So humanity is divinized in that sense, not in the sense that it ceases to be a human nature, now it's a divine nature. No, it's totally and always a human nature, but it now has as its subject the divine person. But still, you have two natures and one person. If, in fact, you try to posit a human being in Christ, then you have a divine being and a human being, and you fall necessarily into the Nestorian heresy that was condemned at the Council of Ephesus in 431. So you are right, my friend, and anybody who would argue Jesus is a human being, you fail biblically, as I point out in my book, as well as dogmatically as a Catholic.
And there you have it. Thank you very much, Tim Staples. Let's not fall into heresy. You can do that more safely by getting Tim's book and all of his resources, Catholic.com. Don't forget to pick up Trent Horn's resources there, $5 each. A lot of pro-life stuff, Catholic.com or 888-291-8000. My name is Don Johnson. It has been my pleasure to fill in for Cy Day. You can find out more about me at DonJohnsonMinistries.org. God bless. We'll see you next time.